Hey, bitches. What the fuck is up?
Well, I think we're going to find out any second now.
Oh, hell yeah, we are, because we're hot.
Now let's listen to the theme song.
It's so good.
Chrissy and Craig. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Chrissy and Craig. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Chrissy and Craig.
We don't know what episode this will be, but so it doesn't matter. It might be the first.
Episode whatever.
Episode whatever. Yeah, welcome to episode whatever, right?
Fuck it.
Fuck it. Nothing matters. Episode whatever. Welcome to it. Or not. Or don't even come in. Don't come in if you don't want to. We don't fucking
Who
care.
Who fucking cares?
Do what you want. I don't know. We're trying to figure out how to deal with things being unmedicated at the moment.
Yeah. Woo.
Or as you put it.
Raw dogging life.
Yeah. So, yeah, as many of you might know, we both share the joy of ADHD or ADD, depending on how you want to look at it.
Too often. It's too hard. My mind is everywhere constantly. Boom, 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 boom.
It's exhausting, right?
Always. Constantly. Mm-hmm. I never know what the fuck is going on. I literally think I just realized that. Like, I'm constantly just like, I go to one thing and I start doing it. And then I'm like, oh my God, another thing. And I start doing it. And then, oh my God, another thing. I get nothing done my whole day unless there's a deadline that day.
Oh, and then that's a lot of fun, isn't it?
It's horrible. It's horrible. I stress myself out. Like, my managers will be like, we need your video in today. And I'm like, ah, okay. And I like rush to get it done, even though I had like a week to do it.
Right. And this is the thing that some people don't understand and also can make people feel kind of shame about, because you start to think like, oh, well, why can't I get this done? But it's actually part of the whole machinery that we enjoy, in quotes, or suffer with, depending on how you look at it.
Exactly. But I mean, I guess it makes me funny. Whatever.
Yeah. No, there's a lot of benefits to it. But I'm curious now. I'm unmedicated right now because they're out of it. They're backordered in L.A.
Oh, shit.
That's when I can find out from the fucking pharmacy, because they won't tell you a lot of times. They bullshit and lie to you because they, I guess, think that you're going to come down and rob the place when you're looking for like a 60 count. And you've already given them your name.
Yeah. What?
Yeah. Right. Like, I'm on the computer. Now they're better because I'm like, hey, it's COVID days and I don't want to be in and out of the house all the time for no reason. But you're unmedicated because why?
Okay, so I went like undiagnosed my whole life with ADHD until I was like 18. And I was like, there's something wrong with my brain. Like, I was like, I'm not like that. This isn't right. You know, like,
yeah.
And yeah. So I went to this like psychiatrist. First of all, weirdo.
Oh, really?
Weirdo man.
What kind of weirdo? I mean, I think I have a sense based on the tone of your voice when you said that, but.
Like predatory in a weird way, like
not in a good way.
There's never a good way. No, but he was so weird. Like, he constantly like was just like really mean during it. Like, made me feel so stupid while we were like,
yeah.
Yeah, it was like, dude, I know. Like, I'm not trying to be dumb. My brain literally is not functioning correctly. Like, that's why I'm here.
Right.
Like, that's,
yeah.
I'm
and by the way,
money.
The least dumb thing ever is going to a professional and saying, like, there's something wrong here. Obviously, I can't fix this. Need your help. Trying to be better.
Yeah, and he would just like make fun of me for like not being able to do things or not be able to do things in a timely manner, and I was like, this is your fucking job. Like,
right.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
So I, he was so weird like that. And then also like he constantly would talk about my body, like constantly.
Oh, Jesus.
And like, I know psychiatrists, like they're before, like you get on Adderall, like they say, like, you know, like it suppresses your appetite. Be conscious of that. But like, he did not say it just like that. Like, he was just like, it looks like you don't eat a lot already. Like, look how thin you are. And it's like kind of like, look at your little legs. They're so little. And I was like, oh God.
What?
Yes.
What?
I was just like, fuck. It's so horrible how normalized all this shit is.
Yeah.
For women. Because like, I mean, also like being 18 at the time, I was like, I knew I felt weird and I knew it was uncomfortable, but I didn't realize it wasn't okay. Because sure. He was just like, your little legs and your little stomach, and just like, you know, you gotta eat, like, you gotta get some like meat on those bones. Like, you gotta, like, it just went into weird fucking detail about my body. And I was like, oh my God, what is going on here?
Yeah. And, but then also, right, this is another reason I'm guessing why a lot of this stuff sort of gets passed over in the moment, because you're also there with a goal in mind, and you're like, always doing calculus, like, okay, I really need medication or some kind of help in this regard. So do I ignore this and just try to achieve my goal, or do I react the way that I feel like I want to?
Well, yeah, it's also like, do I react, or like, what's going to happen if you react? If I react, like, what are you going to do? And then, like,
yeah,
that's just like, for women, always the scariest thing. Cause it's like, we never, no matter who it is, no matter what it is, it's like, I'm afraid to react or say anything, cause I don't know what you're about to do if I do.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And yeah. So he was just so condescending, creepy, and had to go there like twice, which was like horrible. And yeah, like, he prescribed me like Adderall, and I don't remember how much. It was a pretty low dosage, but like, I took one pill. And I was up for 3 days.
Oh my God, really? Like, wow.
3 days straight.
Well, now, were you a big caffeine drinker at the time? Because sometimes they don't tell you, oh, maybe don't mix it with the thing that you're using as a secret coping mechanism that maybe you don't even realize you're doing. They just sort of don't give you any instructions. Okay, so what was your coffee or tea or maybe Red Bull, I don't know, intake at that time?
Oh my gosh. I mean, I've always drank like 3 coffees a day.
Right. Well, as we discussed before taping, I have a hot tea in my hand and there's a glass of cold tea next to it.
Yep. And that's how you have to do it.
Yeah.
Because like, also, I feel like they don't tell you about ADHD is ADHD, and like, it makes you so tired and so unmotivated. Also, it's not just like that whole hyperactive, like, style of living. It makes you so unmotivated. It makes you so tired. And like, I am constantly about to fall asleep, and I'm constantly unmotivated to do shit. So I would drink coffee, and I have to still like 3 cups a day to even just get basic things done, like literally get up and shower. Like,
no, I know. You know, because earlier I screwed up the time. For some reason today, I thought that there was a 3-hour time difference between Los Angeles and Chicago. Apparently, not even on St. Patrick's Day. That doesn't change the time difference. And so,
no,
it doesn't. So, you know, look, you learn something new every day, right?
Every day. Yeah.
So I actually laid down and took like a 25-minute light nap, like kind of propped up in a way that I wasn't too comfortable, because this is another thing. Your sleep is always affected by the ADHD. And that's why sometimes I pause on the H, because you said something really so true about the hyperactivity. I don't really classify it in that, because it's not like I'm running around like, hey guys, hey, it's that I get really worn out, because it takes a lot of effort to do a lot of stuff that some people can just easily do. And fine, okay, that's fine, right? But also, stimulants affect us differently. It hits different for ADHD. Yeah.
Hit different. Good song. But yes, it does. Like, it literally, also just being someone with like pretty bad anxiety, like, it just did not, it did not mix well at all. And so I like took it and was like, oh, fuck no, I'm not even trying again with Adderall. Like, it was so bad. And then I went on like an XR. It wasn't Adderall. I don't remember exactly what it was. And
let me make a few guesses. Ritalin or Vyvanse?
It started literally with meth. Like, the word started with meth.
Okay. So this is even worse. Methylphenidate. Okay. Now, methylphenidate is the generic version of Ritalin. Here's the problem with that. Generic Ritalin is one of the few drugs, or rather the generic version of Ritalin, is one of the few drugs that I've had doctors say, listen, if they try to give you generic, do not accept it, because it's different from the brand name in the binding of the pill and all of the stuff. And one time I didn't make sure that the pharmacy had, followed orders. And it even got to the point where I'd have the doctor write no substitutions, because back then I had health insurance. I don't know what that's like. I don't know. It seems like a fantasy time. So way back when, in the olden days, and well, see, I used to live in Massachusetts, and there we had the original version of Obamacare called Romney Care, which Romney likes to pretend doesn't have anything to do with him. But anyway, I digress, as you are wont to do when you're not medicated. But so the methylphenidate is really gnarly, kind of. It's not terrific. I keep wanting to tell you, well, give try Adderall again, try, but like a lower dosage, and make sure you eat before you take it.
Yeah.
Because this is another thing, they don't tell you this stuff, and you're already feeling kind of shitty about stuff, but then you feel like out of your mind. And they also probably didn't tell you it takes about 3 days for your system to get used to it.
I know. I honestly am sure they said that to me, though. And I just, medicine scares me. Like, I always react so poorly to any medicine mm-hmm. or medication, like, I'm given for, like, my mental illness. whether it be, like, anxiety, depression, like, my ADHD, anything. I react so poorly the first week. And so I am prone to giving up and being like, this is much worse than what I was feeling.
Yeah.
And I know I need to give it time, and I need to just like keep reminding myself that, because I'm going back to my psychiatrist the 1st of April. So
on April Fool's Day too. That's perfect.
Yes. My mental illness is a joke.
Sickening.
Wait, also, is it recording on the screen or not?
Yeah.
Okay. Usually it says recording.
Oh, so fuck. Was I not recording the video? Hold on a second. Oh, Jesus. The audio is recording. But believe me.
Okay, good. Because I just noticed and I was like, there's something missing.
Okay. Well, this one doesn't have full video then. But
okay.
We have the audio, though. We have the audio. Sorry about that.
Audio.
Thank you. Yeah.
It's exactly. Okay. We'll just like keep it as a selfie of me for the first like 10 minutes we were talking.
Yeah. Yeah,
just my beautiful face.
Yeah, exactly, that's perfect.
It
that's
should be a slideshow.
Yeah, just
a slideshow of me.
Yeah, give me just a couple now where you're like, and then we'll like just this, alternate. Like,
and then like this one, like, and then this.
That's perfect.
Perfect. Thank you. I'm talented. If you couldn't tell,
many skills. This is the thing. This is what we're talking about. Yeah,
exactly. Why I'm here.
That's right. That's exactly right. And it's also one of the things that gets frustrating when you have ADHD or ADD, because you know you have these skills, but sometimes you can start forgetting that you have them, or start eroding your own confidence in them, because you're like, how come I can't finish this? Or I started this song, and yet I started another one, and then I got defeated. And then I want to sleep.
I don't know how many videos I've made for TikTok where I'm in the middle of making it and I literally just go, oh, I don't know what I literally will stop in the middle of my thought process, in the middle of like this little skit or whatever I'm making, and just like, I'm like, oh, I don't know. I'm not funny. I literally just like completely shut down for like 2 minutes, and I'm like, I don't know what to say. I'm not funny. And then I'm like, okay, have to go. Have to finish it. Like, have to post tomorrow. So I have to do this. But like, it's a lot of just like forcing yourself. Like,
right. Which is also exhausting.
Yeah.
Because because it's not just like, oh, well, like snap out of it or whatever. You're in a few minutes having to overcome the big hurdle of all of those thoughts rapidly cycling through your head, because those are old thoughts, bad thoughts, incorrect thoughts, but they're familiar ones. And you just have that thing where you're like, boop, oh, I just slid on the banana peel and went right into the toilet. And then you're like, oh, I got to get out and dry myself off real quick. Like every time that happens. Yeah.
I know. And it's the worst too, though. Like I said earlier, like I will not get anything done unless it's the day I have to do it.
Yeah.
And I'll do it right before the deadline, like 30 minutes before. And it might be my best work, because it is when I'm the most focused and the most ready, and no distraction can like distract me like from what I'm doing, which like is kind of nice. But also it is the most anxiety provoking fucking thing. I'm like setting myself up to be like, like the whole time.
Yeah. Well, in a weird way, too, that's like tricking yourself into creating the natural, in quotes, version of the stimulant that is now going to allow you to have hyperfocus.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not fun, though. As someone who's dealt with it for, you know, slightly longer, it gets exhausting, like the older you get.
Yeah. Like, oh, hyperfocusing is like, I love hyper-focusing, but then if I have to do other things, I won't do those other things too, because I'm so focused on what I'm doing. Whether it's when I like start like making music or like start like going through TikTok, like I have a million things I need to be doing, like maybe buying groceries to nourish myself, and I won't do it for days because I hyper-focus on whatever it is for so long, and like nothing can get me out of that.
But that's all, and it's one of those crazy things, because on the other side of that coin, it's such a gift, because you know, like for instance, I've absorbed entire careers of people that I was doing a podcast about, you know what I mean, like in a short amount of time. Also, when I'm interested in something, like it's the greatest thing for me, because I dive into this world of facts about someone or like someone's entire catalog, and it's wonderful. But that is a problem when it's like, that, like you said, grocery shopping, or I got the groceries and guess what? They're all going to rot in the fridge.
Oh, do you ever experience, like, I forgot what it's called. I can't remember if we talked about this before, but that like out of sight, out of mind mindset.
Yeah.
With ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know exactly what that's called, but there's a name for it, because I didn't even know that's what it was. And I was like, why do I suck at remembering everything? Like, the minute I can't see it right in front of me, it doesn't exist.
I think that's the lack of object permanence, right? Is that?
Yeah. I think that's what it is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I have that. I have that with stuff too. Go ahead.
Just like groceries. Like that's exactly it. Like if I don't put my groceries out exactly where I see them and it's not under anything, I don't have groceries. Like I forget. And then a month later they're rotten and I'm like, oh shit. Like, it's so bad.
We've talked before too about cooking and how it's not really our strong suit. And everyone's a critic these days, huh? What was that?
It was the dog. He just whined.
Is that your new dog? Is that did you go and get a dog? Did you actually do it?
No, not yet. This is the person I'm seeing's dog.
Oh, so, that's wonderful.
Yes. Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. About to disappoint people.
What? Oh, but no, it's mystery and intrigue. You're seeing someone, you're having lovely nights. In the midst of a terrible...
Lovely nights.
Yeah. That's good, because, you know, I haven't had sex in over a year, and I'm sick of it. I'm real tired of that.
I would die.
I may have, actually. I'm not sure. I felt like it a couple times last year.
God, I need to calm down with that. in the midst of the pandemic, I was like, I need there to be another human just in front of me. Like,
yeah.
Like just even just, okay. But now do you ever notice that like being around like groups of people, even if it's like, obviously like outside social distance, like you're just like in the grocery store, but does that make you so anxious now? Because that makes me incredibly anxious. Like one, because I'm like, I don't want COVID, but I have to grocery shop. And two, because I'm like, I don't know how to interact with any of you.
Right. It totally does the same thing for me. Even walking down the street to the supermarket on the corner, if people were too close, I'm still operating under like the distancing stuff and all that stuff, which sometimes you're like, is that over now or not? It's not.
It's not. No. Keep distancing.
Exactly. I like go into the middle of the street because it's not a highly trafficked street. And when there's a bunch of people in the store, I'm like, ooh, because other than that, I've almost not seen anyone. Do you know, I've only hung out with one person in the last 4 to 5 months, and it was November 2nd. And I'm going to be seeing them this week too. We're going to hang out and have some cake, which is nice.
Cake.
Yeah. Someone gave it for my birthday. Someone gave me, actually some of the folks from the Hot Dog Club from my other show gave me a gift card to Cake Monkey, my favorite bakery place. Yeah.
I love it. Cake Monkey.
Yeah. Oh, you'll love this place. It's so cute. It's all pink. The whole front of it's pink. I'll send you a photo afterwards. And then
one day
we'll take a trip there. Yeah. Yeah.
Yay.
And they have the cutest cakes too. Like the presentations, everything's really pretty looking. That was where I took my big walk to recently. It was like a half hour. Oh, I didn't hear that.
Sorry,
but something
this
happened.
Door just keeps like opening and closing.
Oh, like
is it a
taunted?
Ghost? It keeps happening. Am I gonna?
Oh no.
I'm fine.
Yeah, you know, you're fine. Yeah.
I'm fine, right?
Yeah, you're totally fine. I mean, Yeah, because otherwise, like something, it'll like there'll be a weird flash of light, and then we'll have to use this tape on the news, and we don't want to have to do that.
Exactly, we don't want to do that. I don't want to be on the news.
No. This is is exclusive content too, so we can't share it with.
Exactly. I'm afraid I'm going to be on Fox News one day. I'm afraid they're going to take one of my TikToks and put it up on there. Oh man, I'm waiting for the day.
It's not too far off, I'm sure. You know what I mean? Especially if you
I love being problematic to conservatives.
It must be such a great feeling.
It's great. It's like, attention. I'm making you mad.
Oh, you guys are upset about something. What a shame.
Yeah. Oh, poor you. You're upset about everything.
I saw it on Twitter today. It is St. Patrick's Day, and people were before we get into St. Patrick's Day, people were like praising Bill Barr for Bill Burr, not Bill Barr. Who the fuck is Bill Barr? It doesn't matter. Bill Burr, Barr, who like, the Burr Bars, the Mr. Burber. They were happy. So Billy Burber, I guess you know he was on the Grammys and he said some dumb stuff. But some people were like, "Yeah, great for Bill Burr for making the snowflakes mad." And there's no bigger snowflakes than those clowns. They get so upset. They get so mad.
So upset. They see like someone with like dyed hair or a tattoo, and they're like, "What the fuck, bro?" or they see like a fucking like gay couple or something that's minding their own business. And they're like, yo, this is just so fucked up. Like, you're ruining society. And it's like, I am minding my business.
Yeah,
like,
right.
I'm just holding another person's hand.
Like, right.
You're going to be fine.
Yeah.
You're going to be fine. Like, yeah. Oh, and then ever try and like question a man's masculinity? Men are the biggest snowflakes, if you want to call anything snowflakes.
Yeah.
The way they get so ultra defensive over anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, you okay? Are you gonna do okay? You're gonna get past this. A woman told you to shut up. You're gonna be fine.
Yeah. And also, I was reminded of something that guys do that is such a pathetic display of this is that when they call themselves the alpha dog.
Oh. What the fuck does that mean?
It's supposed to. I know. And like, by the way, if you say it, you ain't it.
No. God, anyone who has that like weird superiority, like God complex shit is always the worst kind of person that's probably hated by everyone.
Yeah. Like, and they hate the one who's actually, if you want to use these classifications, actually the alpha, actually the one who pulls focus when they enter the room. And they'll never be that. And that's what they're obsessed with.
Exactly. They're obsessed. They're just obsessed with other people, even though they say they're like love themselves. It's really not even that. I mean, like it's, they try and like jack themselves off like that. Like, oh, I'm the best bitch in the whole world. But it's like also they're so jealous of other people and so threatened by other people that they have to like, well, I'm the alpha. And it's like nobody's questioning you. And also nobody fucking cares.
Yeah, you're right. Kevin, no one asked. No one needed to figure out. Like no one asked you for a pointer on who's who in the room.
Literally nobody asked. Like, shut up, Kyle. Like, shut the fuck up, Jared. Like, no one asked.
Yeah, like, no one asked, and we can figure all this stuff out. And we figured you out a long time ago.
Oh my God, men are so easy to figure out. So easy to figure out. They're all the same. They're all the same. And they all use the same tactics, too. And so it's just like they try and like manipulate you, and you're like, you were just like all the other guys I talked to. Like,
now run down some of the tactics. Like the first one that gives you an inkling. I know the joke sometimes is like, what's a red flag with a guy? Well, they're breathing. But when a guy starts to throw the bullshit out, like maybe you've had a couple nice conversations or you know whatever, a couple flirts here and there.
Mm-hmm.
What's a good example of like the first one that makes you go, oh dear, fuck.
I feel like, oh God, I have so many. There's so many because like they're all the same, but they all try to be so sneaky with it too. And it's just like, it's always, okay, my biggest red flag period is like art student boys. Like, and I get to say this because I went to two art schools before dropping the fuck out.
You did your research. You did your research. You were like,
I've done my research. I'm well versed in the art student world, art student men. Let me tell you, I'm well versed.
Two different locations for sample accuracy, sample size accuracy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they all were the same.
What are they like? And it's like, tell us what they're like, because I have an idea, but I want to know. And I think the listeners do.
They want to be this like broken person. Like our student men, like let's talk about it. They all got like the like curly, like long hair maybe, or like the curly hair with tattoos all over them. And they're like, yeah, babe, like this one like means a lot to me. Like my grandma said this to me while they're manipulating like 10 other girls, you know, like saying the same story about their poor grandma who probably doesn't want to be part of this conversation after he's about to like have 10 second sex with a woman.
Like, yeah, she didn't know that she'd be brought into this sort of thing. She wouldn't have said the thing to him anyway. She would have been a little cooler to him. Yeah.
Fucking seriously. Also, it's like, did you make that up, babe? Like,
you've never met that grandma that you're telling me about, right? Did you? Yeah, yeah, that's, like, that side of the family doesn't. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like they just really want to be those like tortured souls. Like, I've had it so bad. Like, I'm tortured. Like, my life has been horrible. But
you can't understand my pain.
No, but that was perfect. Okay. Because you can't understand my pain. You don't understand my art. You'll never get me. And it's like, I don't want to. I don't want to understand you. Like, I literally could not care less.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I hope I don't understand you.
I hope I don't understand you, because it's just like, get past, like, let's get past that personality trait where you're trying to be such like this tortured soul, and like, who the fuck are you? And at the end of the day, you're just like every other dude. Like, you're not this like tortured, tattooed art student who's just like a starving artist when like your parents are paying for your college and all of your art skills came from all the classes that your parents put you in as a kid. And also you always got away with being a misogynistic prick.
Which a lot of times goes under the radar with the like, oh, I'm an alternative guy or whatever bullshit with that.
And watch out for alternative guys. Watch out.
And the art school ones too, like you were talking about. It's funny. It just made me think of all the people who love to have this sort of like mystique, this bullshit that they use as an excuse to not have a real personality or be developed in any way. And also have these inarguable cases, right? Like, you would never understand me, so therefore I don't have to make myself clear to you, or like try. I don't have to try, because you know, you'll just never understand me.
Yeah, it's like they almost romanticize also like mental health and like mental illness, and it's like, don't fucking romanticize that. Like, that's not pretty. That's not supposed to be like, I don't know. It's like, I mean, you can make your mental illness pretty in your own way, and I'm not saying don't do that, but it's like, I feel like they try and gain stuff off of that, like whether it's like clout or like attention from like women. Right. It is like they try and gain attention from women by like romanticizing like mental health, and like they're just like, I just been through some shit, bro. And it's like, okay, same.
Like, yeah, but yet I'm trying to get over it. Like, I'm trying to get through that trauma tunnel, and use it for whatever, for a better day, a better future tomorrow. Just like the ones who pretend they're a starving artist. I really pinged on that one, because I remember some people in Boston who played that role, and they were fucking trust fund kids. And those are the ones that like to wear the starving, so I'm so poor, man, on their sleeve, because anyone like you and I know, who has been in financial less than ideal times, you try to not let that be broadcast.
No, I don't want to put that out on social media. Like, I've talked about it, sure, through Twitter, but Twitter, I just like, it's like a big group chat. Like, I'm like, you guys, like every day, but like, still, it's just like, that's not, if you've actually been through that kind of shit, like, that's not something you're just going to like romanticize the fuck out of, or like, act like you want everybody to know about it. Like, there's so many things that I have not shared with social media that I've been through, and maybe have really touched surface level, because it's just like, that shit I've gone through, like that shit, like I'm going to therapy for. And it seems like these troubled art students with this horrible past are really just like trying to market off of that. And it's like, that's not cool. Like, your art is beautiful. And if you're making art from what you've been through, gorgeous, love it. Keep doing you. And I encourage it. But also, like, don't try and do that to manipulate other people, especially other women, if that's who you're trying to pull, or other anyone, period.
Yeah, sure. Totally.
Don't make it a manipulation tactic.
Right. And also, like, the ones who are basically dilettantes who can get in and out of this motif, this identikit or whatever, after a couple years. Right?
Always the ones that like can easily get out of that, like out of their like whatever it is, because their parents can give them the money to do that. Like it's always the bitches with the parents' money who act the most like hurt and like broken by this world. Like, you never understand me. It's like, baby, I do. Like, I get it. Actually, I don't get it because I don't know what it's like to be that privileged to like ask your parents for money like that and like to fix a problem. Like running away for months, like can just go home.
Yeah, can just go home.
Just go home to their parents.
It's totally cool. And also they were funded the whole time because there's some kind of trust fund or credit card or whatever. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of a lot of people.
And we're naming names on Patreon. So there's that kind of move, the thing about the tattoo. And then they're usually, lying about how many women they're doing the same bullshit to.
Oh, fuck yeah. Like, they literally are the guys who are like, no, babe, like, I've been hurt. I've been through shit before, babe. Like, I'm never going to hurt you. It's always the guys who emphasize that a million times.
And they say it without you bringing it up, right? Like, it's the advance. It's like they have an advance team hitting the ground running, being like, I'm going to drum this advertising message into you. So even if you're not worried about being hurt, when I hurt you, it's going to be even worse.
Mm-hmm. It's like they're like saying it before you can even look through their fucking phone. Like, you know, it's like, no, babe, I'm not like other guys. If any guy has to specify that they're not like other men, just know they are exactly like other men.
And probably worse than any of the other ones that you're thinking about. Yeah.
Yeah, because they're like, at least the other men aren't trying to manipulate the fuck out of you. These guys are just like manipulative pricks. Like, they write it on their fucking head. Like, they're manipulative pricks. Like, it's so easy to see through. And also, oh fuck, what was I going to say?
That's okay. I was going to ask, does like love bombing come in around this time as well?
I mean, they're narcissists.
Yes. And I've had my fair share of run-ins with the narcissists, and now I know a lot more about it and I can analyze all the stuff, but Jesus Christ, it's such a not an irresistible package at the time, because you're always in a vulnerable state when it hits.
Yes.
And then it's always brutal. It's brutal, the withholding, all that stuff. It's the cruelest, ugliest shit.
And back what we were saying about like they're the ones that they're talking to a million girls, like they're always the ones fucking talking to a million girls too. Not like, God, yeah, they're like, they make it out to be like there's some, I'm hearing myself, I'm talking about such a specific person right now too. and all the other guys I met, but I'm thinking of what he is, the blueprint.
Yeah.
I have a lot to say.
Yeah.
But like, they're the ones that are like, act like they're, what's the word? What's the word for it?
Okay, so let's see. They're the ones that are like the special ones, or the ones that are the ones that get you,
that
or
like
have,
are longing for love. Like what? Like
They're real romantic, and they really care about, like, they're looking
hopeless
for a relationship.
Hopeless romantic.
Hopeless. Okay.
They act like they're these hopeless romantic like men who just really want to find love. Like, that's their goal. Like, and they're going to say that to the 10 girls they're talking to that come over. Like, one's this hour, and then 3 hours later, another one comes over, and the 3 hours later, the other one comes over, and they're like, I just want to be loved by one person. It's like, do you? Like,
right. Yeah.
You obviously don't.
Yeah. And that hook there too, it's like, it's almost like they're fishing for the person who will be hurt the most by the inevitable betrayal, because there's a way to screw around with lots of people, non-monogamy, all that stuff, which is totally fine. But there's this whole shell game.
And it's not that like it's a problem that if you're not dating a person, it's very much okay. And if you're just dating around with the person, it's very much okay to like date around and like see other people and whatever. Like, that's not, you shouldn't just spend your time just with one person if you are just dating around seeing people. But if you're going to tell somebody like, no, I want you, you're mine, blah blah blah, like you're a piece of shit, then if you talk about like exclusivity and then still don't do that, which is all I feel like what a lot of these guys do. Like, you're the one for me, you're the one for me, babe. It's like, shut the fuck up. You're gonna screw another girl tonight.
Right. I've never felt like this about someone else before, and on and on.
And I feel like they really do try and attract the women who are going to be the most vulnerable to that, because they know. And this is because I was totally in that mindset before. Like, I was just such a vulnerable person before, like, so easy to walk on. Which is why I'm so like now, because I'm so tired of it.
Yeah.
But like, so easy to walk on, so easy to manipulate. And they look for those girls because they can get away with doing all of that, because they're going to do something shitty. The girl's going to find out. He is going to go in and coat that bitch with apology, like coat her with like, I love you so much. Like, you're my one and only, like, I fucked up. I'm such a shitty person. And like, guilt trip, like, make it seem like they hate themselves. And then you have to be like, no, you're not a bad person. You didn't mean it. I give you another chance.
Yeah. You're putting your own pain aside in order to prop their fake pain up. It's super sick. And then, so then we start the cycle of, I'm diminishing my own needs for this fucking game. And, and once they do that the first time, then they're like, oh, I'm going to make it worse next time.
I've literally had a guy, like, from my last, like, horrible relationship, he literally admitted to me, he's like, but you're easy to manipulate. Like, you're never, he said, you are never going to break up with me because you are so easy to manipulate and you won't ever leave. And, like,
whoa.
Yeah. And, like, and it sounds like you're like, why, Chrissy, why didn't you just, like, fucking get out of it? But it's just like, with everything that happened too, like, more more backstory than that, but like, that is just such a, like, what the fuck do I say to that?
Because it's like, pure evil. It's pure evil coming up and smacking you in the face and going, you won't do anything about that. I'm going to keep treating you worse and worse. And because it's so shocking, because ostensibly this person either loves you or is at least fond of you in some way, right? And then they treat you so badly, it's so shocking, because you're also trying to reconcile in your mind the loving thoughts that you've had for them, even though in retrospect, you look back and you're like, wait, it was bad from almost day one. Why did, and then that plays into like the codependency stuff and the thing that we do, I feel like both, probably the same way, is trying to see the best and then making excuses. And well, they're not really, you know, and we touched on that another time, but I think we'll probably touch on it a few times, because it's
I feel like if you find yourself making excuses for anybody, you have to be like, no, they don't deserve an excuse. Like,
yeah,
there are sometimes, period, like, people don't really deserve excuses. Like, you can sometimes just be like, what you did was a shitty thing, and that's what it was. We can move past this, but that means you have to change. You don't have to excuse the shitty thing they did, though.
Like, no, that's 100% right. And I had this, like, I had this realization, actual last year, not last year in quotes, in London, when I ended up going on a date with someone that I clocked pretty quickly as a narcissist, but it didn't really sink in until I got into the Uber. And I had a really horrible time earlier the previous year. The actual previous year. And then, which is confusing. But anyway, it was confusing times. Yes. Yeah. So, and it reminded me of stuff to do with that. And I freaked out so badly that I got into the Uber and I was instantly exhausted. Because that's another thing. These motherfuckers will exhaust you. And because it's an energy drain. They're energy vampires.
That's
Yeah. And another thing is, they also love to pick on people who have lovely, bubbly energy and all of that. Because at the end of the day, narcissists want to destroy what they can't be. Mm-hmm. And that's what they can't
be. Exactly.
But I had this whole reckoning with myself. It was like a 3-day psychedelic and enhanced, like, sort of walk back in my mind throughout all of relationships back to, you know, the first one or whatever. And then I was like, holy shit. So, but since then, like you said, the thing about excuses, I had a resolve that I made then, which was, the only person that I'll make excuses for, fix the makeup of, and paper the cracks for, and do, like, you know, like, make everything look okay for, is me.
Me.
That's it.
Yeah.
Just me. That's it. Because you start doing that with other people and it's a very slippery slope.
It is. And, like, it doesn't mean just because they possibly have done, like, a kind of shitty thing or something that upset you doesn't make them necessarily a bad person. You can recognize that, but you don't need to cover it with an excuse. They did what they did. It was fucked up. And if you want to continue it, they can't do it again.
No, that's exactly right. And the difficult part is being strict with yourself about that, especially when you're new to this premise, you know. And like, I was with someone for like 14 years. When did that end? That ended 3 years ago. Hooray! In April, actually. April's a great month. It's your birthday month. I had that dissolved. Also, and this is my joke that someone might get offended by, but the narcissist I'm talking about in particular, I was fully free and clear, like no, like the last phone call where there was like a bullshit, yeah, sure, no, we'll talk. But it was me doing the bullshitting because, you know, it was in April 2 years ago. So I like to say that I'm 2 years cancer free.
I'm dead. That's so funny.
And I'd like to apologize to anyone listening who is offended by a cancer joke, but listen, you know, that's what they are. So yeah,
I fuck narcissistic people. I can't. Because they just are the most confusing people. And even if they're so straightforward with you, they're still going to be so fucking fucked, because the next second they're going to be all lovey on you. And it's just like, you just said you hated me. Like, what just happened?
Or they do the thing where they withhold emotion, which is like torture for some of us. And then what they want you to do is like level up and level up in the amount that you solicit their affection. And that is just the worst thing ever. And now when I get a hint of that, even from like a friend or something, I'm like, yeah, I'm not too sure about them. And then they're in a new category. And I have to do that. I have to, because you know what I mean? Like there's a lovely person in overseas who, for other reasons, wasn't getting back to me, but I had to go, okay, like I have to square myself with the idea that this might be them ghosting me or whatever. So I'm not like, hey, what's up? Is everything okay? It turned out that they had a horrible thing happen in their family and everything. But I just kind of put it on like intermission. I was like, okay, I'm not going to think this way or that way, but this is the last message I'm leaving. That was basic. And I didn't say it like that. But I was like, I'm not going to chase them. And I actually thought of one of your videos. It's hard sometimes to make the line and stick to it, because your part of you is automatically saying, well, maybe they're, and you got to be like, listen, honey, to yourself. No,
like it is what it is. Like just saying, hey, it is what it is fucking sucks. And like, they just might not be a person that's supposed to be in my life, and let the universe run its course with that relationship. And if it's done, it's done. And that's okay. Like, and like, sometimes you might be left with like not a lot of people when stuff like that happens, but that just means the universe is leaving room for more people to come into your life that actually care about you.
Yeah. That actually care about you, that you might actually be taking for granted in the moments that you're obsessing over this other person. Because a lot of times I think, it speaks to some kind of like, I don't know, childhood trauma, some kind of thing. And it just gets at that little stored away thing that we keep it in a box. But, you know, those motherfuckers somehow wiggle the top open. And then we're like, because the stuff is spilling out of the top.
Yes. No, exactly. I have had to like play the narcissist game before.
I did too. And I could be real good at it when I'm getting back at a narcissist, but I don't like to do it, because I feel like I'm playing with, like, you know, like in the movies when they're like, be very careful with the dark arts, because if one might.
No, I literally, because I mean, I was just in like such a fucking abusive, horrible relationship with a narcissist, and like, I remember after that conversation where he was literally like, you're just so easy to fucking play. You're never going to leave me. And I sat there and I really internalized that. And I was like, I'm not, like, the way I'm acting right now, and like all this like admiration I have for this person for no reason, I'm not going to leave them.
Yeah.
And I literally had to be like, I have to play his game back. Sure. And I played his motherfucking game right back at him, and it ended with him in ugly fucking tears and me walking out the door and blocking his number.
Yes.
And it was the most liberating shit of my life. But it also reminded me, I was like, I'm a bad bitch. Like, people should not be treating me this way, because like, it's that whole thing. I was like, why? I remember saying to him, like, why are you so mad? like, oh, I get so serious and so mean sometimes. But I just remember being so like dead in his face. Like, why are you so mad? I am doing everything you did to me. Like, what's the problem?
Yeah.
Like, and just like sitting there, like, what was it? Like, what's the problem?
Yeah.
Could get no answer because it genuinely, like, I played his game right back. Like, I started just like not talking to him randomly. I started like hooking up with other guys. Like, and I knew the relationship was going to end. Like, I knew after that it was ended, but I knew for myself that I needed to have my own kind of revenge. And like, maybe that's fucked up, but like,
no, listen, that's how bad the abuse is from a narcissist. And so good for you. Because listen, I remember a time when I should have kicked them out at Christmas time and it still went on. They were living with me for a couple months. I mean, talk about like dark days, right?
I mean, like there are times when it's like, why the fuck did I not get rid of you? Like literally like, oh my God. And like, this is a little heavy and it doesn't like, it doesn't have to be like, it's okay. But it's just like, I literally like, we were supposed to go to like Lollapalooza together and it ended up him being drunk as fuck and me and him in a hotel room and him just like boom, like the whole fucking time. And what? And it was just so bad that like in the abuse and just like the emotional like trauma and everything, like I tried to leave him after that and he like victim blamed himself. He was like, but poor me, I'll get better, I'm not a bad person, blah blah blah. And it was just like stuff like that would happen all the time.
Oh my God.
Still couldn't leave. And it's like, it's not necessarily the victim's fault of it, because it's like we're taught that, like, especially when men like treat us like shit, whoever it may be, like we're taught that like they're allowed to feel that way. Like men have anger and men have testosterone, so they can feel however they want to feel, so they can punch a hole in the wall or slap you across the face and like that's okay. And obviously it's not
right,
it's not at all, but
no, not at all.
When you're just going through so much like emotional just like abuse and emotionally like manipulating shit, like it's so hard to realize that. And genuinely, like, that was the only way. I was like, oh, this is the only way I'm gonna get myself out of this is if I play your game back. And never obviously abusive like that, just like it was a long distance relationship at the time too, because he had gone back to college and I was in Chicago.
Yeah.
And I was just like, fuck it. Like, you know what? The only way I'm going to like have the power to get rid of him is that I remind myself I'm a bad bitch. I can do whatever I want.
Yeah.
And I don't need to answer him. I can go out and have fun and do whatever I want with my friends, like go clubbing, like
live life,
see a bunch of people, live life. And that's like exactly what I did. And then when I broke up with him, he could not manipulate me. He could not. Like he tried and I was just like, no.
And that's their greatest fear. When I could see it in their eyes, this person's eyes. And I remember comforting them at the airport, because of course I took a fucking international trip, two of them. Because what they do is this thing they call, what is it called? It's called hoovering narcissists. They do this thing where they do the game. I'm so sorry, I know, and I'm so terrible, and like, I'm so shitty, you deserve someone better. And then you get conned into it. And the problem is once you go back after that, they'll be even worse the next time.
Yeah.
Because it's to see how far down they can grind you. And that's the whole game. And because there's nothing inside them. This is it. And by the way, just to clarify for listeners who are only listening to audio, Chrissy indicated unpleasant, very unpleasant, a physical abuse earlier.
Yes.
And that's a big, that's a brave, very brave admission I want to mention as well, because it can be difficult, I imagine, very difficult to talk about. So
but also like it definitely is, but also like I'm dedicating a lot of just my work to like bringing awareness to these issues, because I notice like whenever I speak up on stuff like that, there's so many lovely people in my DMs or stuff that are like, it really feels good to know that like you are someone that gets it and like someone I look up to. Not that they want me to go through that, but like understands it from that way, you know? And so,
well, also that you reveal that, and like they look at you as someone, accurately look at you as someone who is a figure of strength. Okay. So then when you see a figure of strength and someone that you admire and draw inspiration from, who reveals that they had gone through something that maybe mirrors something that they've gone through, but you've overcome it, or you're working on whatever it might be. It compounds the feeling like a million percent. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, it just like kind of is that validating in a way to be like, oh, that like, I always like, even sometimes when I get like really bad anxiety, I like to hear someone be like, I understand how that feels. Like, mm-hmm. I get it, because it makes it, it validates what I'm feeling so much. And it makes me feel like I'm not alone with it, you know, just for someone to be like, no, I get what you're feeling. Like, and I promise, like, I've been through that and it's going to be okay. Like, and sometimes you don't always want people to be like, yeah, I get it. Like, cause sometimes people don't, but for me, sometimes like that is kind of the most comforting thing. Cause it's just like, oh, like they're okay right now. I'm going to be okay after it, you know?
Yeah. And that's the thing. And also then you doing your part by sharing that, it helps you mm-hmm. and it helps them. And then that's like the great cycle of actually speaking up about things.
Right.
And it helps to break that other cycle, which is horrific.
Yeah.
And people suffer in silence all the time. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. What'd you say?
Oh, no. I just emphasized that. Horrific.
Yeah, right. No, exactly. Horrific. And people suffer in silence all the time because of the shame associated with it. Like you said before, how is anyone going to believe that I did? Or even in the moment, you know, you think like, I remember being so horrified by the situation. I didn't know what to do. I went into full freeze mm-hmm. mode. I just didn't know what to do. And I was also dealing with a lot of work stress at the time. Right. So it's like, you're just sort of, I remember going on autopilot, basically, to a certain degree, you know?
That's like exactly it. It was like, eat, sleep, drama, repeat. Like,
right.
It was horrible, but I am like, maybe it was shitty of me to like go cheat on.
Oh, no. Brava.
Maybe people may say that and I'm just going to acknowledge that. Maybe, but also like, a lot happened. He was cheating on me an entire year.
Yeah.
And the last month I was like, fuck it. I'm going to have fun. And then I'm going to go break your heart because you treated me like absolute shit. I was like, fuck you. Went to his house. I also so I wanted to know like information on just like everything he did to me when we were dating. And he like obviously noticed I was so withdrawn from him. I didn't want him. I didn't care about him. And so he started like begging for my attention constantly and like crying about it and being like, oh, like what happened? And like, cause I played this game to him and he was just so caught off guard. Like, this is what it feels like, you know? So I obviously did that. And the day before I dumped him, I like sat down and I was like, so the only way I'm not going to break up with you is if you tell me everything that you did to me and everything that I didn't know. I got him to confess everything, almost everything. I'm sure there was more he didn't say.
Yeah.
Everything. And I was like, okay, thank you. Left the next day. I was like, I'm breaking up with your ass, you piece of shit.
Like, that's amazing. That is so good.
Fucking bye.
And good for you. Good for you for putting them through that the way that they, because it's so sadistic, you know, and it's almost a way to exercise it. Throw it back on them because it leaves you with so much shattered glass inside.
Yeah. And it's like, I'd rather just know exactly what happened to and then fucking break your heart afterwards, you cunt. And I would never, ever, ever, ever treat any other human being like this. He's just a piece of fucking shit. Like,
no, exactly.
Never. Everyone deserves love and care unless you're a piece of shit narcissist who isn't getting active help.
Right.
And who doesn't care about that, like doesn't care about other people.
Right. No, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. And also, I bet the cheating meant that you finally had some good sex during this relationship.
Yeah. I was like, fuck it. Like, my ass going to clubs in Chicago, like every night with my friends. Oh my God. We like, before I was ever like on TikTok or anything, like we would go to clubs and tell like 30-year-old men I was famous. And they'd believe it. Like, they did not need proof. They were just And they would, like, buy me a table. Like, they bought us a whole, like, upstairs once.
Oh, my God.
To, like, a private room upstairs, like, with its own bar and everything. It was nuts. And I was
amazing.
Oh, my God, lying to men is fun.
And plus, they're into the fantasy. They're, like, thrilled. And then they'll tell their friends, I did last night. You know who I met?
And they're like, who?
You don't know her?
Like, no, she's so famous. You don't.
What do you mean?
She said so.
And then they'll double down and be like, well, you don't know what's going on. I do. I go to the clubs.
Yeah, well, it's me. Well, bro, I'm right.
Bro, whatever. What the fuck? Like, you know, I think I know who's famous. Okay. Like, so fuck off. Yeah. Yeah.
That's literally, I think I know what I'm fucking talking about, bro.
Yo, bro. Like, yeah, look, I was there. You weren't. Okay. Like, I don't know. You don't go out.
God, they're so the same. They're all the same. Look at it, it's universal. We know at least 10 plus men that talk like that.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Thankfully, I don't bump into a lot of them anymore. But that's maybe not true. It's weird when I find myself, well, I don't much anymore in the last year, but let's erase that. You know what's weird? When you find yourself in a place where someone's casually homophobic about something, or they're casually, and you're like, how am I in this room?
Yeah, you're how'd this happen?
Yeah, wait a second. I told a story on the other podcast once about, I thought a girl was like, maybe cool because she was with some friends, but I didn't know that she was like a friend of a friend of a friend. And then we ended up at this other party. And then I took her back to mine and it seemed like, oh, maybe we'll fool around and it's fun. And then she actually said, so how do you feel about Donald Trump? Now, when people ask you that, you know from the way they ask you what they actually think. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like you can tell. And also, why are you bringing this up now? Does it look like you could maybe mistake me for a Trumpy? You know what I mean? Like, I don't think so.
That is so offensive, too. If anybody thought I voted for Trump, I would die. Like,
well, no, she was trying to figure out if I was one of them because she.
Oh, God, that's terrifying.
It's horrifying. And it didn't end there. The hits kept a coming. Then she started asking about the Hedwig poster. I'm getting the order a little mixed up because it was like, but these all happened like this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, is that a man in a wig? And I'm like, yeah. And I was like, you said you're bi, right? I'm bi. What are you like? But she said something shitty about drag queens and trans people. And it was like, it was almost a span of like 10 minutes. It was just like I couldn't close my jaw because I kept going like, what? She actually even said something like, oh, what was it? Oh, she said, oh, what, do you like Jews? And I was like, wait, excuse me? Like, it was,
holy
like, it
shit.
Was, oh, it was wild. Yeah. I wish I could remember the full story. I might have expunged her from my mind a little bit. The other problem was I didn't want her to drive home because she'd had some drinks. Like, she wasn't blacked out, but it was like,
right.
I'd feel responsible. And as much as I wanted to be rid of her presence, I thought, okay, you know, so I was like, hey, sleep on the couch. You know what I mean? Like, lovely couch. Mm-hmm. Here's a big comforter. And when I got up the next day, she left the fucking door wide open.
What a fucking cunt.
Oh, she was the worst. And it went on from there, too. She said something anti-black. She said something anti-Mexican about the border.
She fit this all in within 10 minutes. What a... You just... Oh, my God.
Yeah. And before that, what was also annoying was she was like hot and heavy to make out. And then... push me away like no I can't and then would grab me and start doing it again, where it's like if someone says to me no I can't, I'm like, oh, okay, well, all right. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's
like that's you don't
that's
have
that
to. Like we're
that's,
good
yeah that's that okay so it was yeah it was and then I was just annoyed that night, but thankfully that, you know, I guess every apartment you got to have that experience once, so it's christened with the shithead and never again. So
never again. What a fucking shithead. And you
shit
always
head.
Know when they're shit, because the minute you got them talking, they're like going, and you're like, oh my God, you're a psychopath. Like
that,
you
yeah.
That's the only people like that, like that is the only, to be that hateful.
I know.
I cannot comprehend, first of all, because hating anything takes so much fucking energy out of you. So these people are on like
And they're like on a loop and they love it. Like that's why it comes out rapid fire once they feel like they're in a safe zone. Because I guess she figured
just say
that
whatever.
Like, yeah, I don't know if she figured that maybe I would like go along with whatever she said, like in the hopes that I would like get lucky, like, hey, lady, I don't care that much. Do you know what I mean? Like it's not really that big of a deal. Like, you know, dance cards just fine. I don't know what it was. It was so, but they are. They're really dull, boring people, and that's all they have to go on is this like cycle of nonsense that they can spout.
Cycle of nonsense and hate that just like has no factual evidence behind it, and then they sit here and thinking they're the smartest people in the room when it's just like your opinions are literally based off of hate, which is not.
Yeah.
There's no factual evidence of anything that you're fucking saying. Like,
right.
Read a book.
I just remembered what she said. She said something like, I'm not racist, but then made an incredibly racist joke. And I was like, they love to say that.
I have been in that position where I've called out somebody for just like saying something very racist, like an older guy just being a fucking racist twat. Like,
yeah.
And I was just like, that was racist. And they're like, no, it's not. And it's like, no, call it what it is. That was right. Racist.
Yeah.
Like, you're literally being like, why are they so, they know the word is wrong and they want to do everything that entails racism, but they don't, they will not admit that they're a fucking racist. And it's like, that's the word made for you, cunt. Take it.
Right. Like, that's a description of your current recent behavior of what you've just said. That is racist. Yeah.
Like, fucking accept it. Like, yeah. If you're so proud about your beliefs, fucking accept the fact that it's a racist motherfucking belief or a homophobic belief or a transphobic belief. Like, fucking accept that.
Yeah,
embrace because that's what you're fucking doing.
You're broadcasting.
If you're so scared of that, yeah, it's like, if you're so scared of that word, don't fucking be that.
Right. There's an easy way to not be racist, and it's don't do any of the stuff that you're doing. Like, that's, you know what I mean? You don't want to be racist so bad. Don't be racist. There you go.
God. And they get so offended, and it's like, Jesus fucking Christ. Christ, you are, well, like,
that's the double whammy. That's really, really vexing.
Mm-hmm. It's like talking to a brick fucking wall.
Right. Actually, a brick wall would be better to talk to, because at least you could like work on your monologue skills. You know what I mean?
For real. They won't say anything back.
You can lean on Jesus. Them. You can't lean on these other people.
No, these people will rot in hell and they don't know it.
No, that's right. They will. They will. And I think, you know, the future is going to be a much more queer, liberal, like, greater space for everyone. I think TikTok's a great example of that. You're a great example of that.
Thank you. I'm trying.
Yeah.
I fucking hope so. But there's also a lot of people in my generation. I feel as if sometimes my generation is a step in the right direction, 1,000,000%. But I also think there's a bunch of people who are very fake woke because it's trendy. Yeah.
Well, there's always the fake woke people, just like those fucking art student scumbags.
Yes. And that's a lot of what it is. And I think a lot of that definitely comes from men.
Yeah.
But it's like also like, okay, like, yes, we're woke and we understand, but we also need to fix our learned behaviors from like, cause like we still grew up with like, luckily I grew up in a pretty like liberal household, but we still grew up, these people grew up with like pretty non-liberal parents, like pretty racist parents, like that generation.
Yeah.
And yes, it's good that we're calling out and being like, that's not okay. But we also have a lot of learned behaviors from that. And we have to strip ourselves of that and actively work on that. We can't just say that's bad on the internet because it's going to get a lot of likes. Like, we have to like,
right,
in our own spaces, our own personal spaces, actively do that. And right, like, I think that's a lot of what, like, my generation, and I believe there's a lot of people out there that do that, but like, I hope there's more, because it's kind of that like bandwagon stuff, it feels like sometimes.
Yeah, performative wokeness and all of that.
Yeah. And it's like, it's cool you're spreading information, but it's just like, I hope a lot of these people are doing it on their own, in their own,
actual,
you know,
lives.
Spaces.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Being always, no matter where you are, like anti-racist, anti-homophobic, anti-misogynistic, like not just being like, this is bad, like, yeah, that sucks, and then like still laughing at a rape joke, you know?
Right. Yeah. Well, we'll get into St. Patrick's Day in a minute, because I know that, you know, we're both huge celebrants of that, right?
Oh, yes. I told people on my Instagram story that if I see any Chicago people, because that is where I'm from, if you didn't know, Chicago people, if I saw them partying, I would post them on my story and bully them.
Yeah. And good for you. I saw that and I was like, that's the right attitude. That's what we need right
I
now.
I said, don't fuck with me. Yeah. Like, so if I see anything, it's going right on my story and I'm saying, followers, go get them.
Yeah. Right. Well, you know, listen, it's not vigilantism quite, but it's the right move. Because people can't be out and about really right now. They shouldn't be.
No. Anyway. It's like, just, and the thing is, people are probably going to be like, I'm vaccinated. But it's like, you're probably not yet. Like, just wait until more people are vaccinated. But come May, like, May is when,
yeah,
like, majority of people can go get vaccinated. It's like, just fucking wait. But like, right now, we're doing the people who need it the most, like essential workers, like, you know, the elderly people, just like everyone, yeah, who needs it the most, or
pre-existing conditions.
If you're lucky,
or, yeah,
pre-existing conditions. Like, and if you're lucky, that's awesome if you can get one. Like, I'm trying to, you know, you can see if like a place has extras, and that's what I'm trying to do. If they, 'cause,
yeah,
they're throwing out perfectly good vaccines at the end of the day, But like right now is not the time to say like, but we're vaccinated, because it's like, I know you're not. You're literally not.
You're not.
It's impossible, especially in Chicago. It's fucking impossible right now.
Unless somehow you jump the line, in which case, like I saw someone on my Insta stories that a little suspicious. He's like 28, 29, as far as I know, no pre-existing conditions. I don't know exactly what happened. I'm going to have to, in my mind, go, well, he probably got an extra one at the end of the day. Although I know he knows a couple of people that are connected in certain ways and, you know, that kind of stuff. Who knows? There's bound to be those people. But, you know, and and it's funny because you're from Chicago. I'm originally from the Boston area. Two horrible cesspools on St. Patrick's Day most of the time.
Horrible. Oh my God. They dyed the river green recently. And it was just like did y'all forget that like we're in a pandemic? Like everyone and their mother was out. I was like, what? I looked out my window and I was like, okay, so I'm not stepping foot outside today. Not that I want to, but like, it's just like, God, like chill. It's river's full of just fucking toxins. It's nothing cool.
What are you doing?
For what?
There isn't enough vomit on the streets, I guess, today, as there usually is every March 17th.
God. And it's like, everyone's like, well, like, we didn't have a St. Patrick's Day last year. It's like, it's a St. Patrick's Day. Stop it. Like,
yeah, no. Right. And some of us didn't have birthdays. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't think Irish people fucking care. So, like, whatever. Every day is fucking St. Patrick's Day for the white people. Like, chill. Like, you're fine.
Yeah, listen, you want to get drunk at 10 a.m., you can do that. And the people that get really hammered too really early in the day, it's like, you know, they're not headed for something great. Every once in a while, getting wasted at whatever time. I'm not putting that down. But there's a certain, you know, there's a certain type of vigor that people in khakis and untucked button-up shirts have to just get blotto and screaming.
No, I see them all. Oh, what a horrible fucking outfit, too. Hello, where's the originality, baby?
I know, it's terrible. No one needs those pleats, by the way. No one needs those pleats. No. Speaking of scary things that white folks have done, I'm a big fan of the Beach Boys, traditionally. As a singer, I'm sure you admire their harmonies and everything. I'm not sure if you're a fan of the rest of the stuff. How do you feel about the Beach Boys?
I've listened to them. I feel like I don't really have an opinion.
No, that's okay. But I mean, you know, you're familiar with them enough and everything.
Yeah, like I've heard them.
Yeah, like, I don't know, California Girls or I Get Around or something like that. And listen, they've made a lot of wonderful music. So anyone listening now who has not been familiar with the Beach Boys, don't let this put you off of their earlier catalog. But I'm about to play you something that gave me pause. And it's something called Hey Little Tomboy.
Hey little tomboy, sit here on my lap. I got things that I gotta tell you. No more skateboards. Put away your baseball mitt. Your rough living days are through.
Okay, I'm just going to pause it there. And I love the reaction on your face. Already, out of the gate, it's horrifying. Hey, little tomboy, come sit on my lap.
What the fuck?
Like, and also, some songs, you know, are written for characters, right? Some songs are written for this. Who is the man singing this song? Like, do you know what I mean? Who is this man portraying? Like, is this a love song? Like, what? Hey, little tomboy? Okay, and it gets... this is only the tip of the iceberg, by the way. What are you thought so far, Chrissy?
What the fuck? That is literally my, like... It's like, should I be surprised?
Well...
that this is a fucking song, unfortunately. That is so fucking weird. That is so uncomfortable. What the fuck?
Well, yeah.
It gets worse. Does it get worse?
Yes, it does.
Shut up. I heard that and I was like, oh, God. That's it, right?
No, that's the only... The rest of it's just instrumental, right? The rest of it is just la, 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 la. No.
I said a fucked up thing. Sorry. Like, I apologize for it now. Like,
hey, what I said was... And the way he sings it is extra creepy.
Yeah, it's hey, like, little...
Yeah, right?
Never do that.
Who is that man? Who is he talking to? There's a lot of questions. And we're going to have more questions because we're going to keep playing the song.
I'm scared.
Which is a good... That's a sensible, good reaction your body is having. So trust your body and its instincts. This is the special unreleased version because there's a moment in the bridge that's not on the released version. So it's even horrifying that this was released. But this is the version they wanted to originally release.
You could find new places to go, whoa, whoa. You could see that boys love you so, whoa, whoa. They're doing it all over the world.
Okay, right. So this is the moment where you think the record will screech, and that's it.
No, just like, what? Where? Who? Can't you say, like, even if they didn't say write this song, like, can't you just be like, this is fucked up and I'm not singing this? Like, why did they agree to sing this fucking song?
Exactly. So this is written by their very, at sometimes confused leader, Brian Wilson, who was going through a really rough patch, which still does not excuse any of it. But so, okay,
no.
So we have an addled mind who writes this song. It's not great. There's nothing good. There's nothing good about it. Nothing. But then, like you said, there's a committee. There's other people there. One guy, the guy singing the song in the 60s, protested that the lyrics were too, like, vague. These aren't vague. These should be more vague. Do you
vague?
Know what I mean?
You have said all you needed to say with a cherry on fucking top, you creep.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, it's like getting hit with a cricket bat across the face in terms of subtlety.
That is terrifying. That is so terrifying how, I mean, just even to bring it in such a broader sense, how the media just allows shit like that to be out there and is like, let's sing along.
Well,
like,
thankfully,
this is fun.
And let me give context. This was not a hit. This was on one of their albums that sold like zilch. But the fact that
as it should.
No, exactly.
Y'all deserved that.
The craziest thing is there's an interview later that year that Brian Wilson's doing, and they're like, oh, how's the new album going? And he's like, I should just play it. I'll play it for you. I'll play the interview after I play more of the song, because we're not done yet. We're nowhere near done.
I hate men. I fucking hate men. If the world was run by women, like, shit like this wouldn't even be a topic.
No, and also just the casual, creepy, pedo misogyny that's in there, like...
Pedophiles! Let's sing about being a... What?
Time to turn into a girl? Time to turn into a girl!
Like, what?
Not just that, but by the way, Chrissy, they're doing it all over the world. This is where you get, like, old hack songwriting and then this bizarro message. Because, like, he's looking for a rhyme. Like, well, what rhymes with girl? Oh, you know, just like dancing or surfing, they're doing it all over the world. They're turning into girls all over the world.
But it's like, is that even, like, what are they? I don't understand what they're saying, because it's like, they're talking to the little tomboys and, like, a... It's just so much on cover. Okay, wait. It's like, are they saying little tomboy is like a girl who's like a tomboy, like,
or
playing with skateboard, or like a, you know, a little boy? Either way, a child. Either way, they're talking about a fucking child, which is the root of the fucking problem here. Whether whoever they are, but they're talking about a fucking child.
It's clearly under 18. They're absolutely under 18. Whoever they're talking to, are they talking to a girl? Or are they talking to a boy? Like, it's very confusing.
And it's just, because then it goes into that, like, that gendered stereotype. Like, don't put your skateboard away. And, like, how girls, specifically, like, growing up, or just, like, anybody, you know, like, wants to, like, ride a skateboard. And it's not exactly in their fit that the world said you have to be in. Like, you're a girl or something. Like, you have to fit in this, like, box of what a girl is to society, even though there's no box. There's no such thing as fucking gender. Like, there's no such thing as any of this, but society has just made this fucking up. And, like, they're like, okay, no, you can't do anything you want. Instead, do what a girl, quote unquote, is supposed to do as a kid and get naked.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah. Oh, and it gets worse, by the way. It gets. And I've been looking forward to playing this for you, because I was like, I want to share this with someone special. And
who can I piss off the most?
There you go. You've uncovered my secret motive. You now know who I really am.
I love it. Don't worry. We love you.
Here we go. Now for more, coming hot back on the charts, Beach Boys with Hey Little. Can you imagine this being like if they played it on the radio?
Their careers should be over. No, that is a moment of ending career. Never talk again. Never go in public again. Or else somebody like me is going to punch you square in the face.
It's worse, too, than their association with Charles Manson. So the drummer,
fucking God,
the drummer was like hanging out. Yeah. So Charles Manson and the Manson family hung out with the drummer, Dennis Wilson, for a good long time, right up until the time that they did what they did. It's not great. There's a lot of problems in their story. The actual family story of the Beach Boys, because it's two brothers, a cousin, and then a friend of the family. So
a weird fucking family. All right.
Yeah. And like the father of the two brothers, Carl and Brian, and admittedly, Brian, even though he wrote this song, a musical genius, like if you hear now, I know this taints them forever for you. But,
yeah, no, I'm never going to look at them as talented.
I get that. But like he did a lot of amazing things before this. I'm not saying So, but the father was horribly abusive. Like their whole story is really crazy, especially when most of their stuff is like, you know, be true to your school and really like up numbers about surfing and stuff. There's like a lot of darkness in Then There Are Hills. And speaking of darkness and creepiness, let's get back to the song.
Hey, little tomboy.
Oh, wait. So now it gets even creepier for a few reasons, because we have the first creepy man voice. Okay, now we're going to hear from the author, Brian Wilson, who sounds like a guy over by the dumpster with wet hands. Okay, like
I
approaching
hate
you.
God. I hate men.
Okay.
No, like literally, this is what I mean.
No, I know, and I promise, we'll do something fun after this. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. I promise.
Hey little tomboy, I've had my eyes on you.
Okay, hey little tomboy, I've had my eyes on you. Okay, I just want to pause.
No.
Yeah, and doesn't he sound like that man by the dumpster who you're oh my God, there's a guy over by the dumpster, he's got wet hands, I can see it.
The fucking every creepy guy on the streets of like every fucking place. Yeah, it sounds exactly like what they're thinking. God, fuck this song, fuck the Beach Boys.
I really want to get to, but is it too disturbing? Because I find it gets a fun thing to play, because to point out the horror of it.
Yeah. I mean, go ahead. Let's hear it.
All right. We'll just blast through it. And then I won't keep pausing it, because I feel like I'm prolonging the torture and I apologize.
Yeah, I'm like, oh my God.
Think what a girl you...
Oh, wait. Sorry.
I've had my eyes on you. Think what a girl you could be. I smell perfume. Let's try some cutoff jeans. Look at all the changes I see. I'm gonna teach you to kiss. You're gonna feel just like this. They're doing it all over the world. Hey little tomboy, turn me to a girl. Hey little tomboy, they're doing it all over the world.
Here's where it really goes.
I took her out a couple of times.
Hey, okay, put on a little lipstick. Let's see what it looks like.
I'm gonna make you a girl.
Now let's put a dress on and wear a little makeup.
You make a beautiful girl.
Okay, now shave your legs now for your first time.
What?
I'll stop it now, because that's...
So how is their career not over after that?
I don't know. It came out... I found it sometime recently, and I was like, oh, good Lord.
Is it just so fucking normalized that like people listen to that and we're just like, it's kind of good?
Well,
like,
I think it helped that it was on an album that bombed during like a really low point of their career.
I guess, when was this album released?
77, 78.
Okay. I guess it's harder to cancel people because social media wasn't really a thing. I was like, how the fuck did this ever happen? Even though, like, because me, like, I would, oh, I even want to now cancel the Beach Boys.
I know. And I feel kind of bad now because I feel like maybe, because I like to point out these things because they're horrors that existed in the world. And it's just unbelievable to me that people would put this out. Like, how do you even.
How did you.
And it went through it. There's three different versions available. Like, there's this one. There's another one where there's that part, the horrifying
so
part.
So they worked on this song.
Yes. They honed it.
It was so second nature to say those fucking creepy things. Like, it was so. And that's so terrifying because that is just so fucking normalized. Like, not even just here in just like other countries, like literally all over the world. They admitted that is just so normalized. That behavior is so fucking normalized. And that's incredibly fucked up.
It's really
fucked up. And it's like, what are they also talking about? Like, are they.
Right. What are they talking about? Time to shave your legs. Like, shave your legs for the first time. Try a little lipstick. Ooh, I smell perfume.
Like, obviously, they're talking about children. Like, obviously, one. But also, it's like, are you talking about, like, those sex child rings too? Like, that's what I was getting out of it. I was like, what are we promoting right now?
Well, this is the thing. This is the other thing that's doubly horrifying. So first off, we have the two singers. Okay, that's creepy because they're like, they're two different people. And then we get to this, like, a bunch of guys talking and they're like, yeah, I've had my honor too. Like, does he have any idea of what he wrote? I don't know if he had any idea of what he wrote.
That's
like,
it's so scary. That is so scary because that is so normal and that is so just like,
did I take you down a bad path? I'm sorry. Did I?
No, no. Okay. You did not. Okay. I think it's a good thing to talk about, though. Like, how, unfortunately, how fucking normal that is, because that is just so fucking real. Like, that's happened to probably every fucking girl or feminine person or.
Right.
You know, I honestly, that's happened to everyone. It doesn't. Gender's not fucking real, one, but it, like, regardless, like. Of how you identify, like, there's so many people out there who just fetishize kids, and it's fucking terrible.
Right. And, like, and the angle here where, like, it's like, oh, like, hey, I'm going to help you figure it out so boys like you.
Yeah, and it's just, like, that is such predatory behavior, and also it's, like, what?
Yeah.
That is insanity.
I found this song last year. Like, I've always been, now this sounds weird. Now it sounds like I'm a creep. I've been a fan of the Beach Boys for a long time, but never really knew.
I mean,
this.
You didn't know.
No, I didn't know. And also, like, there's other stuff is really pretty. Like,
it's not like, I mean, my mom loves the Beach Boys. I'm sure if she heard this song, she would be like, what the fuck? Like,
no, exactly. And again, coming from an adult mind, which I'm not making excuses, but like there was not in a well state, but still, how do you come up with this? I don't know. There's been a lot of people in bad ways before did not write this song.
Like, a lot of people have done bad things behind, like, their music or whatever it is, but they really just said, I'm shitty.
I think I have a clip here of an interviewer talking to Brian Wilson about any exciting songs on the new album, because he went through a period where what happened is he sort of freaked out. A lot of stuff happened. He shut down. He had a depressive episode where he stayed basically in bed for 3 years. Then they brought him back, mm-hmm. and it was this whole campaign. So the interviewer here is excited that Brian's back to writing songs, and this is what he asked him.
Fucking courage.
And we talk about the new recordings. What actually are you doing in the studio right now?
Well, we're basically.
Wait, I got to share a video for this because you really got to see what's going on here.
I'm gonna cry.
I'm gonna get angry messages that I did bad things to you on the show.
No. I mean, this like just emphasizes my point. I fucking hate men. I hate it when I have to be reminded, but this reminded me, and I was like, yeah, I'm right.
Well, it just shows you too, like, the casualness with which a song like this would be made, like, that no one along the way said, hey, do you think maybe someone might even interpret this like it could mean this? Do you know what I mean? Not even telling them outright, like, it sounds like you're, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it sounds like you're a pedophile. Like,
right.
No one said that. Well, of course, there's probably a group of men doing everything. And so nobody's going to call out the other men because they're like, oh, it's kind of funny. Men cover shit in humor all the time. That's literally how they cover up their friends being shitholes because they're like, oh, he's just like being funny. Like, he's just, and it's like, that's not funny.
You're in luck, Chrissy, because here we go.
Creepy ass.
Creep. First of all, can we talk about the new recordings? What actually are you doing in the studio right now?
Well, we're basically working on new stuff.
By the way, the dry mouth, he's like gacked to the skies. He is on so much cocaine.
God, fucking.
15 big ones, our current
weirdo
album, has about half and half, oldies and newies. We call them newies, new songs and old songs, classic songs, you know. And but the new album, which we don't have a title for,
we'll have
a little more new material than old this time. One of them is named Hey Little Tomboy. It's about a...
Oh, I see that smile.
A little girl who's sort of a roughneck. You know what a tomboy is, anyway. And this guy convinces her to become a pretty girl, and sure enough, she slowly turns into a pretty, starts shaving her legs and wears short skirts and, you know, and puts some lipstick on and makeup. So she's a little tomboy, and that's one of the songs. So we're very happy with it.
Yeah.
We're very happy with it.
We're very happy with it.
Should not come from any man, but not from a man who looks like that. Shut the fuck up. Are you?
No,
you have no right to say that with that unshaven beard, bitch.
Oh,
like,
no, and like the coke sweat, and like you can hear the dry, the crackly mouth. Like nothing against drug use, but like in that combination, it's like woo, woo.
Well, it's just like this man. Oh my god, that fucking crazy. The way that the interviewer laughed too, like that is what even made me like get like uncomfortable goosebumps. Yeah. Like, yeah. Oh my god, like that was funny. Like literally admitting, like, oh yeah, we like make this little girl like said that.
Right.
And it, like, this little, they laughed roughneck, and it's just
this,
like,
yeah, this roughneck little, this roughneck girl.
Roughneck,
yeah.
She's a kid. What? Kids are,
yeah.
What?
Yeah, because it's so vague about the age. Like, they don't even say it, but it's like, it has to be implied because they're talking about skateboards and stuff. That's not like a, oh yeah, 25-year-old woman. That's not what
they're talking about playing, and it's like, that's so, oh my god, that is terrifying. I just cannot believe that, like, that was like a conversation with the guy, and that's just like what fucking sucks is because like men just like, maybe not that specific conversation, but also maybe that specific conversation,
yeah,
just have conversations like that and don't this like really brings me into this whole all like these guys saying like not all men, this like movement that they're doing or whatever, this bullshit, because it's like you may not be somebody who has, you may say too, I'm not, you may say you haven't done this, somebody who has sexually assaulted somebody who has like done some really, really fucked up misogynistic shit too, just like said misogynistic things. Like, you can say all you want that you've never done that, but I know for a fact that you have laughed at a joke that somebody's made. You have watched behavior like that happen from your friends. You have encouraged your peers to treat other people that way, you know? And it's just like that is such a normal conversation, and it still is a normal conversation today, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
And like, all men are part of the problem because all men are encouraging that behavior, whether they're doing it themselves or not.
Because there's a way to encourage that stuff without actually being vocally pro it, by tacitly, silently just sort of letting people go on with stuff, you know, like your friend that you can, you know, you don't say anything when they say something racist or whatever.
And it's like, you can't, like those girls who date like those horribly homophobic or like racist or misogynistic guys and excuse it like, oh, he doesn't mean it. It's like, yes, he fucking does. And why are you with him? Like, it's fucked up that he's doing that, and we're not going to excuse that, and we're not going to look away from it. But it's also like, why are you with him? You should not be excusing that behavior. That's not something you should be with if you don't believe that too. And it's just like, men don't understand that every time they're sitting back and they're not commenting on these shitty things that other men are doing, or they're laughing at these jokes, or they're encouraging this behavior, and they're not checking their friends or the people around them, they are part of the fucking problem. Whether this interviewer wrote it or not, whether he wrote the song or not, he just encouraged that goddamn behavior. And that is literally baseline what life is with men.
Yeah, like that, which is actually why I wanted to play the thing for you, because you know, it's been sitting with me for a while.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad you also told me though, because I never, not that, like before I was like, yeah, they're fine. Like, I never want to say that again. I want to be like, no, fuck them. Like, I never ever want to ever encourage that behavior, and I'd rather be well versed in their bullshit than just excusing behavior. That's so far. That just like it just opens up just a whole nother conversation too, just like how that interview went.
Well, and also because they're like America's band, right? It's
right.
And all this horror that's really in the background of the Beach Boys. So even if they never did that song, even if you could look at the band as an example of America with the horribly abusive father, and who was so abusive that Brian, the musical genius of the bunch, Carl was great too, but like this, the other guy was, he could do incredible stuff and not be able to read and write music. But the father beat him so badly one time, he lost hearing in one of his ears. Like that. So there's that kind of ground level of the house to start on. Then you have the second floor. Do you know what I mean? Where this family is with each other all the time, all this dysfunction. There's all this kind of addiction. The drummer, Dennis, before his dalliances with the Manson family, you know why? Because Charles Manson would lure famous rock stars with the women in the family. And that's how he, I mean, he used the women as pawns, you know, and which is more disgusting stuff. I mean, the list goes on and on. But
then
you have Brian's mental illness, which is untreated and then also mocked. And then he goes into his whole drug thing. So really, you know, they are America's band in a way.
Yeah, they are. And it's like, oh, God, it's like that's so shitty that those things happen to them. And I never want to say that any of that shit that happened was OK.
Oh, of course.
That is such, so unfortunate and such a horrible way to grow up. And obviously definitely fucks with your head. But also it's like, you know, just like that kind of excusing behavior. Not that I'm saying you were doing that.
Okay,
but like
good. No, I want to make sure it didn't come across that
It was just, it sparked something in me. Not that you are doing that.
Okay, good.
No, because you're just explaining, because that's true. Like that literally is America's band. Like,
yeah. Yeah. And the perpetual dysfunction, or like the long term, like, you know, the guy goes away in his house, doesn't leave his bedroom pretty much except to go get food and have drugs delivered for a few years. And then they're like, oh, we need him back. So instead of like, what's the focus? His mental health or like getting the band back on the road? Do you know what I mean? Like there's this weird thing about money first and then. And that's probably why a song like that, they're just like, well, whatever, we'll do it. Like, Brian, you know what I mean? Like, we're not thinking, we're not even going to put a critical thought in it. Okay, whatever you want, buddy.
God.
That kind of bullshitting, you know, that kind of like yesing to death that killed Elvis Presley, you know?
Yeah, just like that excusing of behavior too. Just like also, you notice that with just like, I don't know, like I found myself in my life, like excusing the way people treated me because their life growing up or their... like what was else was going on in their life was so bad. And I'd be like, well, this is a reaction to what's going on, but should never project a reaction onto somebody else.
Yeah.
Like you are able to feel the way you feel. You are able to be upset. You are able to be hurt. You are able to feel your feelings, but you can never fucking project that onto another human being and make them take that shit that you're feeling, because that is not their fault.
Well, no one's allowed to also operate under the delusion that they are more entitled to feelings than other people. It's, you know what I mean?
Exactly. Oh, yes. There's so many people who feel like that. Well, I went through this, so I deserve to feel this way. And you didn't go through that, so you don't get to feel that way. And it's like, babe, our experiences are very different. Life is very different. We react and we take things in and we understand things very differently. And it's like, it sucks you went through that and I'm here for you and I want to support you in any way I can. But also like there's a limit.
Yeah, no, exactly.
So, like, the things you do and you can't project onto me, you can't project into your work, you can't project into the things you say. Like you still have to be a functional human being.
An actual person.
Yeah, you have to be an actual person.
And you can't just dump your stuff or transfer it onto someone else, because that's another thing sometimes people do. And I was talking to someone about this the other day, because either we're prone to being the focus of it, or we're, you know, sometimes being very open emotionally or care, you know, whatever. Sometimes you can trip yourself up with this stuff. And then this is also something that takes time to parse out. Oh, is this something that's related to the other stuff I was talking about? Or, you know, is this just like they were in a bad mood? I was having a bad day and I should have put up a boundary saying, not today. You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
If that made any sense. So... Okay, good. So what was I gonna say? Yeah, so people can just dump their stuff on you and then like sort of walk away and they're good, but you're like, you know, let me play something like a palate cleanser to get rid of the flavor yes. and the stink.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I always promise.
That's what I need.
I promise to always have an antidote to the rottenness. Yes. But there will be rottenness. So that's, you know, not my fault. It's out there. So.
Yeah. It's not your fault.
So did you hear about Wendy Williams' little thing that happened today?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, she had a bit of a thing. So I'm going to share the video on this one because it's important that you see it.
Oh, I have seen this.
Oh, you did? Oh, okay. This. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Wendy Williams burped Girl. And farted in short, quick succession. And the audience reaction is wild.
It's a matter of time. She's not lonely. I apologize.
One more time.
It's a matter of time. She's not lonely.
Oh, my God.
I apologize.
The rhythm of that is wild.
She deserved that.
Yeah, she definitely did.
She deserved that.
She did.
Why are you shitting on other women like that? Yeah. Like, you deserve to get embarrassed.
Yeah.
Like, well, I'm not going to say I'm a fan of the Kardashians or whatever, like, and fuck Kanye, but, like, also don't just shit, like, don't just say stuff like that. Like, that is so, and even, God, it's like, girl, it's not something you should just rip on other women or anyone about.
Yeah. So you know what's going to happen karmically? Like, you're going to burp and fart on like that. I like the rhythm. It was like boop, boop, ah. Like there was a very strange, the audience was good. Well,
yeah, she was like, oh shit, I don't know what I just did.
But I think we're coming to a close on this one. We've had such a long, wonderful taping. And as always, I love chatting with you. And so this is so much fun.
So fun. It's always the best. We talk about everything.
We do. And time flies by. And we'll do it again soon. But we got to go now. So that brings us to the end of this rather juicy episode. And we love you.
Say it back.
Ooh, see you next Tuesday. Ooh, see you next Tuesday. Tuesday. Ooh, ooh, see you next Tuesday.